Ed Herbie, one of those guys who will be there that night. Ed, thanks again for offering up your time for that. I appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Jay, how you doing? Excuse me.
I'm good. For a teaser, see, a lot of the Ed Herbie stories at the dinner are stuff we never talk about on air.
Yes.
So that's why people got to come.
Yeah, well, exactly. If they really want to hear the deep down dark secrets of what goes on, that'd be the best place to hear them, because there's no microphones, there's nothing there. It's just pretty much, if I'm in the mood to kind of tell you, because as you know, I'll shoot you straight, and you can walk away from that dinner feeling like you got something that no one else has.
So there you go, right from the guy himself. So be sure, if you want in on it, you can text in right now at 10-12-60 or dials up 444-1260. So, you know what, when we had you on last year at the end of the season, of course, you know, you made the move and there was a major change in your organization. This year, it's a completely different feel. Mm-hmm. Your team won a home playoff game. Obviously, you didn't get the result you wanted in the West Final. Injuries to Mike Riley probably played a little part in that. Just, I guess, talk about your mindset now, and getting to this point is one step. Now, how do you go to the next one to obviously reach your ultimate goal?
You just continue working, continue the process, continue with the plan. You know, the expectations are high for within our building and our staff, coaches and players. We know there's a lot of hard work that goes into changing the culture, changing the perception of our organization, and we will continue with that. We know there's areas of concern for all teams. Even the team that won the championship in the Stampeders, they're going to look at their team and figure out how can they get better because of the competition around them. But speaking as far as our team is concerned, you know, myself, coach, you know, and our scouting staff, you know, and even in our players, we all have a responsibility to this offseason get a little rest, then you know, refocus on the season ahead and take our game to the next level. Take little steps as far as what we have to do, and all those little steps combined will be one giant step in hope for improvement for this ball club.
The, I guess, major areas, a position you know very well, you played it. Do you need more speed in your receiving core?
We're always looking for speed in the wide receiving core. We're looking for speed, we're looking for size, and we're looking for the ability to make plays. And I think that's an area, that, like all areas, as I've said earlier, that will be assessed. It will be an area that will get special attention this season. But again, you know, we're building, you know, we're trying to build consistency. And I think when we go into the last off season, it was protecting the quarterback, making sure that we could also get to the quarterback, and increasing our size and athleticism. When we look into this off season, again, it's more of the same, but understanding that there are areas that are more pressing than others, and I believe we will address those. And we're already hard at work. We've been hard at work all season, getting guys prepped and ready for the idea of coming to the CFL. And there are many candidates out there that are open to that. And as you know, it's just it's not a matter of time before getting their names on the agreements, have an opportunity to see them in the off-season workout camps, eventually the mini camp, and making a decision as to who comes into camp, and with the expectation of improving our roster from that point.
Ed Herbie, GM of the Eskimos, joins us. And that mini camp is clearly important. That's where you got Dexter McCoy, who turned out to be the rookie of the year, and he's signed for two more seasons. You know, just a very athletic guy. I'm not sure if you guys knew what position he was going to play when you signed him. You just signed him for sheer athleticism?
Again, the size, the athleticism is just, those are the kind of guys we want. They're, you know, they're tall, they're long, athletic, they cover a lot of space. And if you're athletic, you know, we'll find a place for you. You know, Jonesy and those guys on the defensive side especially, you know, they're going to put you in various spots to see where you look good and where you fit. And fortunately for us, McCoy, you know, settled in nicely at the outside linebacker position. You know, he shrinks windows in passing lanes. He's, you know, he has instincts that you just can't coach. He's always around the football. And, you know, it was a pleasure to see him get rewarded for his body of work. But even he has a long way to go. He has so much work ahead of him to improve his game. And when we go out scouting, we're looking for more guys like him. And we're also looking for guys at other positions that are athletic, and we'll find a place for them if their talent shows in those camps.
You've had a few weeks now, probably, to, and I don't know how many times you've watched the tape or not, but your defense was the backbone of your team all season long. I don't think there's any debate about that. The emotional leaders and everything create a lot of turnovers. you guys hadn't really been dominated by a team offensively like Calgary did in that first half. When you go back and you take some time, what didn't happen for your defense that day?
I mean, again, the Calgary's a very good football team, and they made plays. You know, they found some matchups that they were able to exploit early, and they got the plays early. And I still look at it, and I'm not here to make any excuses. I think I'm going to always say that, you know, we got beat by a really good football team. You know, if I was to say one thing in that game, you know, Calgary had been in three or four of those games. And our players, you know, that was the biggest game that they have all been in. And, you know, sometimes you have a bad quarter. And but it's not just a bad quarter. It's a good team, you know, forcing you to have a bad quarter. But I think we all learned a lesson. I think our young players learned a valuable lesson in that game. And I think they'll take that into the off season. And next year when the opportunity comes and presents itself, not only just against Calgary, but every opponent, that they'll take the approach like you know, good teams should when they take that next step. And, you know, everything starts to slow down for them. There are less big plays made on them, and there are more big plays, you know, output from our side, and then there's less of those plays happening against us, and it gives us an opportunity to be in a game late and possibly winning it.
Your offense – at the end of the season, actually, I had you know, the most combined yards of any team in the CFL. And when you watch games, maybe that was surprising to some people or not. Obviously, a lot of the points came from defense and really good field position. I know Mike Riley at the end of the year said he would like it so their offense could have more sustained drives longer term for that. A lot of the players told me it was the most intense offensive package they'd ever seen, and it took a while for them really to understand it. I don't know how much you sit at home for fun to check out the playbook. How much better will the guys be just having 1 year of that offense under your belt next year, even if you didn't make any drastic changes?
I think it's going to be leaps and bounds for the offensive guys. Obviously, for the quarterback, this will be the first time Mike Riley, since he's been here in Edmonton, he'll be going into another season with the same offense, right? His first two seasons have been two different offensive coordinators, two different schemes. So I think there's going to be a level of comfort there for him. For the returning players, there'll be a level of comfort because they'll understand the terminology. They'll have an entire offseason to you know, review, refresh, and when they do get together as a group, and they can call out the plays in the offense, which will allow them an opportunity to get familiar with one another rather than just calling out routes and calling out, you know, going through the route tree. They could actually call out plays and plays that they need to work on and plays that they felt comfortable with. And it'll give them an opportunity to, you know, hit the ground running when they get to training camp. And you'll see the execution with all those players having a year under their belt. It'll be much more crisp, and it allowed them to execute without so much coaching, so to speak.
Last year, you were very open and honest about, hey, I need guys who I know who can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Right? It's great to have good talent, but if they can't stay healthy, that's a concern. And I know maybe early in the year, that was a little concern with John White. He went then, you know, the second half unscathed. But because of that, do you look to bring in, you know, a legitimate contender? He was maybe your most integral part of your offense, as good as Adarius Bowman was. Wright really was the guy who did a lot for you. Do you think a guy becomes over an injury thing, or as a GM, is that always in the back of your mind?
You know, the responsibility is to make certain that we have the depth to overcome any injury. And, you know, John definitely, you know, he had his share of those injuries in the early part of his career. He finished strong. But, you know, you always have to make certain that when we go into next year, you know, that's always in the back of your mind. Would we love for him to play 18 games? Yes. And if he plays 18 games, you know, he'll be very dangerous for teams to stop. But football has injuries. And we have to make sure that when we do have injuries, that we have the depth that's capable and able to go in and not only fill the position but fill it well and execute and potentially force you to, you know, have a tough decision sometimes whether a guy can return to the lineup because a guy that's filling in the role is playing so well. So that's the challenge for us heading into the offseason. But, you know, not to take anything away from John. John has been when I had an opportunity to see him in college, you know, I had a feeling that this would be the kind of player he would be. But, you know, again, as I said earlier, this year is that you're only as good as your availability when it comes to in football. And the more available you are, the more opportunities you have and so on and so forth, and it gives us a chance to be successful. And I would anticipate that, you know, those are things that you can't control, but I think that that's something that, you know, when they get into next year, they're going to the objective is to play the entire 18-game season.
For me, anyway, and I mean, you might have different opinions, but the four biggest names I see, obviously the offensive line, your two Canadians, Rotier and O'Donnell, we know the value of Canadians, and then Odell Willis and Rennie Curran. Concerned, Ed, I'm sure you've probably had negotiations already. Concerned you'll lose any of these guys?
I mean, you go into it always knowing that there's a possibility, but I think we have a good thing going here. I think those guys understand how we treat our players. It's becoming quite known to players across the league how things are being handled here in Edmonton. There's a lot of respect that our players are sending out to the other guys and letting them know that they have a good thing. So when it comes down to, you know, do I believe that they're going to come back? I mean, I can't say for sure whether or not they will, but I'm optimistic.
Okay, that's fair. When I look at it, the value of Canadian offensive linemen, though, I think it's safe to say Rotier and O'Donnell maybe the top, as good as Odell Willis was, Canadian linemen as those priority one and two?
Well, you always got to make sure that, I mean, that's the strength of your team, right? And, you know, we have to, that's been a priority. You got to protect the quarterback. That's number one. And we will make sure that we focus on that and stay on that, and that's going to be a priority throughout, even as we go into our draft, is making certain that, you know, if there's someone there that we like, you know, we're going to take a strong and long, hard look at that person. But again, when you look into the landscape of the CFL, the stronger teams are strong up front, and it's their Canadian content within the offensive line is that makes the difference for most teams. And I'd like that to be the case for the Edmonton Eskimos.
GM of the Eskimos, Ed Hervey, joins us. Odell Willis said he wants to come back to Edmonton. He really liked his time here. You went out and signed him as a free agent. Feels, hey, you know, he knows Chris Jones very well. So the fact that it's a winning organization, Ed, compared to when you took over, that's, you probably have more guys who want to come here now compared to a few years ago.
I would say that they want to come here because we're on the right path. I think you know, most players know, the ones at least that I've dealt with, all know that they're going to get an honest answer from us. They're going to get treated fair. They're going to get treated with class, and we're going to treat them. We're going to make the Edmonton Eskimo experience much different than any place that they've ever been. They're going to be coached well, and they're going to be treated like men. And as far as guys you know, exploring free agency, of course, you know, guys have a responsibility to themselves to explore. But ultimately, in the end, I think you know, we're going to be competitive with all of our free agents, especially the ones that we want. And you know, again, I remain optimistic because I think the X factor in making a decision are those things that you mentioned. You know, familiarity with staff, with the city. We have great fans here. We have support. We have field house. We have all these things here that make a player feel like it's professional football. And sometimes, you know, when you go out to other places, the grass isn't always greener. So, you know, but I feel good about what we're doing, and you know, hopefully, as I said, we can make a pitch to keep the guys here that we want and become a stronger team, and we can continue to build, continue our building process.
A lot of Eskimo fans, you know, are big fans of Fred Stamps, and felt like maybe he got treated disrespectfully. I know that the coach is the one who decides on that. I don't know if you had any say in it, but what would you respond to that as far as the treatment of Fred Stamps?
I don't think Fred Stamps was treated poorly. I honestly know that this coaching staff and Coach Jones in particular, you know, everything was about trying to win. And if you remember, you know, I mean, Fred had some injuries early in the season, which possibly, you know, made him have a slow start, so to speak. And then Darius and Mike Riley found a rhythm together, and by the time, you know, Fred got back, you know, they were already in their rhythm, and I think, you know, Fred, it was an adjustment period for Fred to find his role within the offense, I would say. But there was no mistreatment of Fred. I think, you know, Fred's been a long time Eskimo. You know, we treat Fred with all the respect, and, you know, we gave him all the time in the world he needed to get healthy, and he was 100% before we put him on the field. So we never rushed him to get back out there. I think, you know, those thoughts are, you know, people are always going to have or speculate as to what the relationship is, but I can assure our fans that we treat all of our players with respect. And Fred was no different.
At the end of the year, he said he thought he was going to he's played his last game as a member of the Edmonton Eskimos. He does have a contract still. Have you and him had any conversations about those comments?
No, I haven't. I still haven't had a chance to talk to him. Again, I think, you know, at the end of the year, you know, players get emotional. Players have things that they want to get off their chest, and they say it. But when Fred, you know, Fred's under contract in 2015, so you know, I think he'll take a little time off to decompress. You know, I probably was a little disappointed for his role and the way the season went as far as statistically is concerned. But I think when the dust clears, I think he'll feel good about his time here. I think he'll feel good about the future in Edmonton, and I think we'll have an opportunity to talk. And, you know, at that time, I'll have an opportunity to talk to him about his thoughts and what he meant when he spoke to you guys and made those comments. And I think that it'll be a different tone at that time.
Last year, you made some big moves in free agency. The number one, of course, Patrick Watkins came in. And, you know, as you saw in the Calgary game in the playoffs, they didn't throw at him very rarely, at least the completed balls. Do you look at the free agent crop? I know they're going to release it next week. Is there an opportunity for you to be a big playmaker in free agency again?
I mean, again, you know, as I've said before, like we're not going in it to make big splashes. Our fans know, and my philosophy is not to go out and try to go out and grab every free agent to say that we grabbed a name. You know, there are specific roles that have to be filled, and there's areas that I look at, and there's some guys that may come free. You know, we'll see what the list looks like when they get to that point. I mean, I have the list already, but we'll see when February 10th comes who's actually available from that list. But there are a few guys that I look at that I believe, just from watching film, that can fill a role on our football team that can help us. I know our coaches feel the same way about some guys out there that can potentially take us to the next level. But again, their availability during free agency will dictate that. But if people are expecting us to go out and dive into the pool head first without looking in, no, we won't do that. Our moves will be subtle but effective, and the hope is to improve the football team with whatever happens at the time.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos, joins. I had Bud Steen on the show all year long. We learned a lot more about officiating. You know, there's been some talk about potential rule changes. You know, now that you had your first year with the defensive pass interference upper review, what's your thoughts on it? Do you think it stays?
I mean, I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to talk about that. I don't want to go into anything, be premature with it, but I mean, my stance on it remains the same. You know, we voted against it. I didn't want it. I said I felt it was going to slow down the game. I felt it was going to be thrown, flags were going to be thrown just for the sake of throwing them. And I didn't think that it was, I still believe that we have to first figure out what pass interference is. And I've been very clear on that. I I'm not tooting my own horn here or anything like that. It's just I didn't feel it was the right rule for us at this time. But it was worth the experiment. But I can't tell you whether it's going to survive or stay. I mean, we have to have an opportunity to talk about it. But my opinion of the rule has not changed.
What would it – so you voted against it. So it doesn't need to be unanimous then. Is it 6-3? Like, what does it need to be to pass?
Majority, I would imagine.
Okay, so 5-4, that's it. Okay. How much interaction do you have with the commissioner? And how vital do you think that hire is going to be for your league?
When the commissioner comes to town, I'll see him. If we go to rules or we go to the evaluation camp, you have an opportunity to talk to him. This commissioner, you got to give credit for. He's a very down-to-earth person. And in most leagues, you may not have the opportunity to sit down and talk with the commissioner. I mean, this one he's unique. But as far as the next one's concerned, I mean, he's got a responsibility to the league. He'll have major shoes to fill. But again, the commissioner of the CFL is getting the league probably at its best that it's been in quite some time. And it'd be interesting to see how the process plays out and see how what ideas the next commissioner brings to the table.
And one quick one for you, Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos, joined us. You can join him for dinner if you want to get in our auction today for the month of giving. All the proceeds going towards Santa's Anonymous. The Canadian draft, what's the depth look like this year?
This year is going to be pretty good from what I'm hearing. I get an opportunity now to go into the month of December and now start watching those players and getting familiar. I mean, our Canadian scout and draft coordinator, Rob Ralph, does an excellent job gathering all the information, going to see these kids in person and bringing everything to the table for us. It's an opportunity during the holidays to actually look at the players and get the rundown. But by all accounts, everything that everyone's saying, this is a strong, extremely strong draft, and you should be able to get some really good players in the early rounds and mid rounds as well.
One last one. I did see your your team, the Lakers, live in person. I was there last weekend at Staples Center. And Kobe Bryant, who, of course, I know you're a huge fan of the Lakers.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to turn it around? Or do you think Kobe, they maybe are they better off, because he's 2 years left at his stage, would they be better off trading him, bringing in a lot of young guys and rebuild?
No, I think Kobe remains a Laker, and I believe that this will be a year where they kind of go through the growing pains. And I believe next year, going into the offseason, there'll be players that want to come to Los Angeles. With fingers crossed for Kevin Love to opt out in Cleveland and come to Los Angeles. It's still Los Angeles. It's still the Lakers. There's a down year, down couple of years. We're not going to cry over spilled milk over the trade that never happened, that happened and then got revoked a few years ago with Chris Paul. That trade still burns deep in the fabric of Laker Nation, because we're sitting there watching Chris play for the Clippers. But the reality is that it's still the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the top franchises in the NBA, and free agents would be foolish not to want to come there.
Did you grow up listening to Chick Hearn?
Yes, I did.
It was Chick Hearn night. And they were honoring him. Of course, he's passed away now, but they have scholarships and everything in his honor, and the young guys in broadcasting school. And they handed out these little Chick Hearn, and I got one. I was going to give it to you. And it had all of his great sayings.
Yeah, the eggs are coolest. Oh, the butter's getting hard.
Yeah, the jello is jiggling. Yeah. Oh, man. So he had all, like, this game is over. The refrigerator door is closed.
Shut. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Was Hearn a legend in L.A.?
Oh, no. He is a statue.
Yeah.
He was by far the best. You could turn on a Laker game. It was like Brian Hall here. Turn on a game, and if you weren't watching on TV, and you could see the game through his voice. And Chick Hearn was amazing at the Lakers. During that 80s run where Magic and those guys and Showtime, it was amazing to hear him. It was amazing to watch him and hear him on the simulcast. But when the Lakers would dominate, I mean, it would be 4 minutes left in the game sometimes, and he would pull it out. He said, like, well, it's over with. And if Chick said it, that meant it.
Ed, I appreciate your time as always. Enjoy it. All the best to you in the holiday season. I appreciate you again for helping us out in the month of giving. And hopefully, we just got another bid. We're up to 3,900. So hopefully, we will continue going on this.
No, I appreciate it. And you know what? It's a great cause. And in all seriousness, I would encourage people out there who are interested in donating to a good cause to make the donations. It's going to be a fun time. We always have fun. When I talk about giving you the low of information, I'm very discreet on how I give it, but if you ask me a straight question, I'll give you as much as I can, and the conversations that we have are always open. I don't throw anyone on our staff or players or anything under the bus, but I do talk in generality when we talk about the league and things, and you can walk away feeling like you had a good time, and again, it's still for a worthy cause. So I encourage everyone to bid.